This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. You know what? It's been a long week. We have talked about the new National African American History Museum, opens tomorrow, how to make animals smarter, and the need for more diversity in our food writing. So as we do every Friday, we have gathered a group of smart people to help us kick back, unpack what the heck happened this week. Don't spill your coffee. It's time for the break room.
All year long, I've been hearing one very specific description of the election coverage. No, it's not bias, but it's close. It's false equivalence.
The edge of the solar system breakthrough officially cost $720 million. That's less than the cost of the billion-dollar Viking Stadium.
All I heard was this scream, and I was like, that's my boys. All I heard them say was, Mom, it's somebody chasing us. We're all black in a clown mask.
Okay, joining me in the break room this morning, Decaturish.com writer Nikki Salcedo. Welcome back, Nikki.
Thank you.
And welcome back from Athens, Jordan Stepp of the Athens Music Junkie blog. Hi, Jordan. Jordan?
Hi.
There you are. And here in the studio, just as excited about our favorites, Georgia State University Professor Hector Fernandez and Jeff Breedlove, Communications Director of DeKalb County Commissioner Nancy Jester. Hello, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Morning. As most of us know, the first presidential debate between Clinton and Trump is coming Monday. Lots of people are going to be watching for what you just heard mentioned, false balance. This is this practice in which, in order to make it look like you're treating both sides totally fairly, you will present both sides as equally credible. Jacob Weisberg is the editor-in-chief of the Slate Group, and he talked about this on CNN.
You know, the structure of covering politics is you compare an apple and an orange, and they have different attributes, but they're both fruits, and you can take your pick. In this case, we have something more like an apple and some rancid meat, excuse the expression.
Is Donald Trump the rancid meat?
He's the rancid meat. And in all sorts of ways, I mean, it's conspiracy thinking and racism. There are all sorts of things that are outside the norm of what we've accepted in American politics.
Okay, so false balance. First of all, do you guys accept that this is a problem?
Definitely.
Why do you say that?
I mean, because, well, particularly with this election, I mean, you look at the two candidates, it's hard, it's really hard to imagine them in some level of a parity on so many things. I mean, the differences are so extreme. So this is something I don't get about contemporary journalism. I mean, I guess it's an intrinsic desire to sound fair, but it's really hard with these two people coming along this year.
Jordan, what do you think? Is it a problem?
I think it's definitely an issue, especially when you have a wild card candidate that's not fitting into the traditional storytelling mode that we're used to in political writing.
You are being very politically correct there, Jordan.
That was very delicate.
I know. Nikki, what do you think? Is this a problem?
You know, it's not a problem for me. If that's the worst thing we're doing this year is being fair, I think the sensationalism and other tactics are more troubling to me than the attempt to be fair.
Jeff, you want to weigh in here?
Oh, I'm not even sure it's real. And I think it's in all seriousness part of the problem with why we see so many people canceling subscriptions to major newspapers because of this type of philosophy. Some people think there ought to be two people on that stage, the two candidates. That's what Lincoln and Douglas did. And
you just mean without a moderator?
Without a moderator. Yeah. And let two adults be two adults, and let's see where it goes.
The problem is one of them is not going to be an adult.
And I'm worried about Hillary, too.
Okay.
How could you guess?
Before we go down that rabbit hole, let's talk about our next issue, which is whether you stand or kneel for the national anthem. Colin Kaepernick began doing that in a protest, San Francisco 49ers player, because of protest over police brutality. Now some members of the Miami Dolphins, other players, are doing it as well. But in Florida, the Sheriff's Union in Broward County is not happy. It's asked the deputies there to refuse to work security detail for Dolphins players who don't stand for the anthem. Is this okay?
No.
No, why?
This is ridiculous. I mean, all they're doing is it's their exercise, their free exercise to criticize the government. I mean, you take a symbol of the state and you do what you're entitled to do with it. It's your right as an American, and they shouldn't be penalized for that.
But that's those same Americans, those same citizens have the same right to exercise their constitutional protests, too.
Not when they're hired for
work. Not when they're hired, exactly.
Colin Kaepernick is hired for work.
By the private sector, not paid by taxpayers.
Let me tell you what. If we start separating this out, You're going to divide this country.
The country's pretty divided.
Yeah, the country's
pretty
divided.
That's right.
Objectively
Colin
speaking.
Kaepernick is the one dividing it.
Jordan, what do you think? Is it okay for the police not to work security?
I think that basically the police need to be, if they're being paid to provide security to the entire Dolphins team, they need to provide security to the entire Dolphins team not a select few.
Maybe Colin can take some of his $1 million that he's so oppressed and discriminated against and hire his own security, for heaven's sakes.
Okay. Obviously, there's protests going over this very issue right now. And anytime our listeners want to add their two cents, you can always contact us at OST Talk is our Twitter handle. We have a couple minutes here, so let's deal with something really, really frightening. All over the South, children and adults have reported seeing clowns in communities like McDuffie County, Georgia.
I was standing over there, and I was like, who's that guy following Cameron? And we saw a man with an all-black on, clown mask on, and, like, a red wig.
And Cameron was like, Mom, will you get to my kids? And they was terrified as they was this morning. You have crossed the line.
We didn't think it would happen in McDuffie County, but it seems like it has. What could start off as an innocent scare could really cause somebody to get hurt.
Voices from McDuffie County there. Arrests have been made. Clowns continue popping up. Nikki, what the heck is going on?
Oh, I think it's a great viral marketing campaign for Stephen King's remake of It that's coming out next year. As soon
Why
as
is
I
it
saw
in the
this,
South then?
Because the South is scary and we have lots of woods and clowns are amazing. Everyone's afraid of clowns. It's the best way to scare humans ever.
Jordan, you're afraid of clowns?
Well, I mean, I don't see how you can't be afraid of clowns. They're creepy. I'm not terrified, but I'm going to keep out of the way of any wooded areas that a clown may pop out of.
No, I'm terrified. Totally terrified. And they'll scare the daylights out of you. But to answer part of the question, I think some of it is serious bad guys, but I do think there's some hoax going on. People copy to be copycats to get media attention. And so I think we do, all of us as a community and law enforcement in particular, you know, we have some probably very serious, dangerous people out there, but then we have some copycats too. And what the copycats got to remember is you're putting yourself in the situation where the law enforcement doesn't know if you're a copycat prankster having a good time.
And you're wasting time and money.
Right. And what are you doing to our community? And when they approach you, I sure hope you obey the orders of the cops.
Okay, so let's tackle a more nuanced issue. Next month, the U.S. Supreme Court will consider a case about whether or not a Colorado man can challenge 3 misdemeanor convictions against him. According to sworn statements from 2 jurors in that case, they said one of the jurors announced that Rodriguez was guilty because he was, quote, Mexican, and Mexican men take whatever they want, end quote. So here's the dilemma. Not in any way, shape, or form endorsing racism, but science says every single one of us has some kind of inherent bias. So can we say you can't be racist and be on a jury? Or does that pretty much leave us all out?
It leaves us all out. We'd have to have the jury system completely blind, everyone, invisible to each other.
Well, as a conservative, maybe I have a different point of view. So if Citizen A makes a blatantly, by any societal standard, racist comment, I think that person loses their privilege to serve. I think all humans have a bias, but I think there's a difference between a natural human bias that's human in all of us, and outright blatantly racist statements. And I do think there's a difference. And if you put yourself
in that... So he should have been disqualified.
Yeah, I think he should be disqualified.
But
absolutely.
How do you judge? I mean, I don't agree with this. I mean, it's fine. But what I think is, where do you draw the line afterwards?
Well, the point is, if you make a statement that any reasonable person would consider to be inappropriate for jury service...
But that's the point. How do you define reasonable? Reasonable embodies an idea of an ideal... You know, you have an ideal member of the jury.
Or I know, and then, I feel odd because I'm the conservative here. I think when you say...
You don't know what I am.
I'm a conservative here.
If I'm not conservative, I don't have an ideal.
No, what I'm saying is, if a guy says you're guilty because you're... My son's Chinese. If you're guilty because you're Chinese, and that's what Chinese do, they take things, hey, you shouldn't be on a jury. You just shouldn't
Jordan, do you want to weigh in before we move on?
I mean, obviously, if you make a blatantly racist statement, then yeah, that guy should have been kicked off the jury. But like, yeah, exactly. But the other good point is, where do you draw the line? Because what may be racist to somebody is not racist in somebody else's eyes.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of nuance there. So I think that finding a racially neutral jury is not something that can happen, because we are all human. Yeah. And as the studies have shown, there are unconscious biases that we may not even be aware of.
Well, let's move on to something that's less nuanced, and that is the song that has started to be played at Trump rallies lately. This, you may recognize this song, actually. There is a light about the sun as tomorrow comes. Will you give all you can give so that a banner may advance? So the forces are... Welcome. That is, okay, so I don't want to talk over Donald Trump, yeah. But that is Do You Hear the People Sing from the music Les Miserables. We're not going to talk about the choice of that or Trump, but I do want to ask you, if you were going to choose a song for your own campaign rally, were you a politician, what would it be? And Jordan, you're the music person here. I got to start with you. What's your rally song?
Oh, gosh. Probably something by R.E.M., just because I am from Athens.
Not It's the End of the World as We Know It, right?
Oh, gosh, no. Yeah. Although you never know, according to how the campaign's going, it that might work.
That works on a lot of levels. Everybody hurts. Hector, what's your campaign rally song?
I'd be a horrible politician because I choose a logical song by Supertramp.
Nikki?
I chose a sweet little ballad by LL Cool J called Mama Said Knock You Out. That would win votes.
This is why I'm mad at Donald Trump. Like, this is my favorite play, and that's my favorite song from the play, and I've always thought that's a great song, and I would use it. So now he's stolen, preempted my song. I love that song.
Well, so what's yours?
That is mine.
That is yours.
That's mine. It's my favorite song from my favorite play.
Here Comes the Boom or something. Okay. All right.
That would be a good thing.
But I do think mine maybe should be It's the End of the World as We Know It, because that's what I would probably do.
Yeah, I'd be a horrible politician. All right, let's move from the political arena to the sports arena. SunTrust Park opens next spring. The total cost will be about $672 million. That's a bargain, though, if you consider the new stadium for the Vikings. According to the CBS station in Minnesota, that stadium cost more than NASA's mission to Pluto.
The edge of the solar system breakthrough officially cost $720 million. That's less than the cost of the billion-dollar Vikings stadium.
Okay, so are we finally ready for a serious conversation about why taxpayers pay for stadiums but don't collect the profits?
This needs to stop at some point. I mean, our taxpayers have nothing at all to do with filthy rich sports leagues and team owners getting gazillion dollars stadiums. I mean, the taxpayer has nothing to do at all with that. It's ridiculous.
Jeff, you were also nodding.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And what's really offensive to me is right over by the Georgia Dome, the new Mercedes Dome right now, there's a billboard that they've put up, the Falcons have put up, that says, "It only costs $500 to buy a seat license, and it starts at $500." So you know that's the upper deck.
Yeah.
The ownership, they're so out of touch with the average working class person, and they're pricing us literally out of the domes to see the teams. That we're paying for. It is outrageous, and it's a disgrace.
We got a minute left. Nikki, what do you think?
My heart's broken because I love football, but I feel like I will, A, never see the Vikings play because I won't afford it. And I feel sad for my friends in Minnesota who have to bear this burden. But they don't want regular people to enjoy sports anymore. And I think that's really the sad part of the story.
Jordan?
If I'm going to help pay for the Braves stadium, I better have a say in the starting lineup. And I know
that's
nothing
really
of sports, so
I feel like since taxpayers pay so much, we might as well get naming rights. Why come we don't get at least naming rights? In any case, we are out of time in the break room for today. I want to say thanks to all my guests. You just heard it, Jordan Stepp, music blogger in Athens, Decaterish.com, Caterish.com writer Nikki Salcedo, that's a mouthful, Georgia State University professor Hector Fernandez, and Jeff Breedlove of Nancy Jester's office of the DeKalb County Commission. Thanks to all of you.
Thanks a lot.
For having me.
Have a great weekend.